Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word. It is a good word, too. Father, we thank you for moving your servant that you may have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. For those of us who need comfort, I pray you will comfort us. And for those of us who need conviction, I pray you will convict us. Father, this is about you. This is your word. It is a good word. May it change our lives because we hear your word. In your son's most holy, precious, glorious name, we all say. If you heard an amen, you know they're visiting. Make them feel at home. Esther chapter 9 and 10. We'll try to finish up the book of Esther today. Getting ready to make a transition from the Old Testament to a New Testament book, and we want to spend a couple of weeks talking about some things to get us ready for that transition. Get us ready for what God wants us to do and he's called us to do. This is a great opportunity to be in the book of Esther and finishing up the book of Esther, because it shows us so much about what life's all about. I like to say the Old Testament, Esther is an Old Testament truth with a New Testament reality. We've done verse 1 through 5 of chapter 9. We've looked at what has taken place with the Jews being turned around. How all of a sudden, it looked like the world was going to come on them and kill them. And God came up with a decree to give the Jews an opportunity to defend themselves. And anytime you've been under a lot of pressure and you think someone's trying to kill you, and God turns that situation around, and you see God come through, and you see God deliver you, and all of a sudden you have the right to defend yourself. Sometimes as Christians, we go a little overboard. Talk to me. How many of you have been in a situation, been in a relationship where you feel like you've just taken it? Taking it. Okay, now you're looking at me like you don't act like that. You have just taken it. And all of a sudden, man, you get a chance to give some back. Can I have an amen on it? And you don't just give it back. You go overboard. You just kind of back up the transfer truck and dump that 18-wheeler. And then you go fill it up again. Bring it back and do some more dumping. And then you go fill it up again. See, Christ always has a balance when he wants you to do something, when he wants you to respond. See, my wife can say something to me, and I don't like it. I know that's hard to believe for you to think that my wife can say something to me that I don't like. I'm such an easygoing guy. But I got one or two options. I can act about what my wife said, or I can react to what my wife said. Can I have an amen? To act can be in self-defense. And that only lasts about 20, 30 minutes. Or I can react. That's an overdose. And an overdose always goes for about 3 to 4 weeks. Talk to me. I can say something like this. Well, honey, you know, you have a point there. But I think we ought to discuss it. Okay. Can I get an amen from somebody on that one? Or I can react. What are you talking about? You always going off. That always makes things a little more calmer in the house, doesn't it? And the Jews have been under pressure, folks. They thought they was going to die and they get this thing. They are going to not act. They're going to react. And never, ever make a woman react. Want me to prove it? Let me prove it to you. All right, beginning of verse 6, Esther chapter 9. If you don't know where it is, it's in the Bible. Verse 6, and then Shushan, the palace, the Jews slew and destroyed 500 men. Bam! One day. This is just in the city of Shushan, where the king lives and Esther lives. Bam! You going to try to kill us? We got something for you. By the time the day was over, they done killed 500 men. Now, check this out. This is good biblical exegesis that I'm getting ready to give you right here. Verse 7. Let me read it for you. And there was 10 hard names. Can I have an amen? I'm trying to make the brother. They couldn't even pronounce their own names. Ain't nobody grew up in my neighborhood with names like that. Now, LaQuisha, I can bring it home right there. But these names, so we're going to go from verse. We're going to go from verse 7 to verse 10. All right, here we go. That's how you read it. And 10 hard names, verse 10, the 10 sons of Haman. See how that flow? All right, we all in it together. The 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews, slew all of them. But on the spoils, they did not touch their hand. See, there's a lot of things when we do that we don't explain why we're doing it. It's just as important for people to know why you're doing something than you just doing it. They said, we're not going to touch. Now, the decree that came from King Xerxes said, when you kill them, when they come to kill you, you can kill them. And you can have everything they own. Just take it, their homes, their horses, their money, just take it. And the Jews said, no. We're not going to take any of their spoils because we want them to know we're not doing it because we want what they got. We're doing it because it's the right thing to do to defend ourselves. Do you understand that so many of us as Christians are so passive, and it just makes me sick? Well, Pastor, what do you mean? If someone breaks in your house, well, if somebody breaks in my house, I think they ought to go see Jesus. Did I say that? Did I say that? No, really. I just think they need an appointment with Jesus, and it's up to me to set the appointment. Can I have an amen? You don't break in my house. I got a family in there. I got people that God has given me to protect. And God has given me the right for self-defense. I hate passive Christians. And hate is a strong word. But passive Christians giving Christianity a bad name. How many people have you seen, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to wait on the Lord. That's a good statement to say when you're making excuses not to do something. I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm praying for God to bring us food. Can I get an amen? Is anything wrong with praying for that? Yeah. If you're not working. can I have an amen? Oh, I'm just going to trust God. You know, we got so many people that, you know, God will bring them food. You know, they got a responsibility. It's called chew. If God bring in the food, you got a responsibility. At least you got to cook it, prepare it, and then chew. And if you don't want to chew it, just swallow it whole and go see Jesus. We have responsibility on our part to do certain things when God is there. And most of us just want to lay it on God because they teach it. Well, if God wants me to quit this habit, he'll just give me the strength to quit. Will you join in with him? Will you join in with him? You want strength to stop something? Join in with him. Remove that from your life. I told you about the young man I went to talk to when I was in college. He had problems lusting. Lust, 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 lust. He said, I want a pastor now. I just wanted a player. He said, hush, man, come. Could you come and help and talk with him, man? I got a lust problem. I walked in this room and there was Playboy bunnies plastered all over the wall. I looked at the front foot. I said, bro, I got to get out of here because I'm going to have a lust problem too. And then you and I as Christians can console one another. She looks good. Yeah, bro, right. Pray for me. What? And here is Esther, man. I love it. This is the kind of woman you want to be married to. Verse 11. On that day, the number of those who were slain in Shushan, the palace, was brought before the king. Here it comes, the king. Boy, we got a mess going on outside now. That's translated from the HIV, the Hutchins International Version. And the king said unto Esther, he goes to Esther this time. Esther's always come to him, right? He hears that that's 500 guys been killed. So he goes to Esther. He says, the Jews have slain and destroyed about 500 men's girl. Yeah, that's Hebrew. Girl, I mean, you know, down in the palace there, and you know, the 10 sons of Haman. They arrested them and killed them too, right in the province, hung them. Excuse me, not just killed them. Now, what is your petition, honey? And it'll be given to you. You know, what is your request for them, and it shall be done. Now, that's a conversation to have with your wife. Can I have an amen? Somebody tell me, is that a conversation you have with your wife? How you doing, honey? How many you killed today? Oh, we killed about 500. Whoa. Is that enough? Oh, no. That's not enough. Come on, ladies. Have you ever had an opportunity to just lay it out? Guys, have you ever had an opportunity to just lay it out and a couple of words would do and suffice? See, ladies, you don't understand us guys. We have about a 35-day cycle. Very few people know that about me. Most men don't know that. We have a 35-day cycle. And about every 35 days or so, we get this inferiority and insecurity aspect about us. And if you don't understand that and you try to talk to a guy that's going through that phase, you got some reaction going on. How many of you knew that about guys? It's true. You ought to come to my marriage class. Find out this kind of stuff. And all ladies have about a 28-day cycle. Everybody knows that. Can I have an amen? Yeah. Did the pastor say that? I'm sorry. That kind of snuck out because you don't talk about ladies in the church. Y'all are dainty. Tender little flowers. Except on the 28th day. Then you go, thorns. Now, you know what, guy? Your 35-day cycle does not give you any right to be ungodly. None. And ladies, your 28-day cycle gives you no right to be ungodly. It's an excuse. But I'm gonna give Esther the benefit of the doubt. I think at this dinner, she was just kind of, it was her time of the month. She didn't like nobody. 500, that ain't enough. Can I have another day to kill folks? Okay, well, look at this. What would you like? Anything? Just tell me. Then said Esther, verse 13, if it please the king, can you grant me another day? Can I have tomorrow to go ahead and kill some more folks? And you know, by the way, I just want to let you know, king, it ain't enough for Haman's boys to be dead. I want you to re-kill them. Hang them. They're already dead. She said, I want you to hang the guys already dead. Kill them again. Does anybody think there's a little overreaction? You know, it's easy to see other people's overreaction. But can we see our overreaction? God always has a balance when he wants you to deal with others, especially when you feel under pressure. Oh, I'm enjoying this. How about you? You having fun yet? I said, no, Pastor, I don't enjoy this. It gets too close to home. And the king commanded it to be done, and the decree was given, verse 15, for the Jews who were in Shushan gathered themselves together on the 14th day also of the month of Adar, which is our month of March. It's February, end of February, part of March. It was March, according to now, 13th, and then they wanted March 14th, where they just celebrated a feast that they do now because of what happened here. And we're going to talk about that in very few minutes. And he slew of the rest of the... They slew another 300 guys on the 14th of March. That's just in the city of Shushan, the city of the palace. They killed 800 guys in 2 days. Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
How often do you remind someone that they're wrong? When you've already told them you think they are wrong? How many days do you keep bringing back up something that happened last year, 20 years ago? Pastor lacks a response.
Too often.
Is it too often, Pastor? Too often. Over and over and over again. I know what they tried to do to us. I see what they tried to do to us. They wanted to kill us. And now, 2 days. Now, the king says, what happened? Now, you killed 500 yesterday. What happened with the rest of my provinces, he asked? The other 127 provinces. Look at this, 15. For the Jews who were in Shushan gathered themselves together on the 14th day, wiped out another 300, verse 16. But the other Jews who were in the king's provinces, the other 127 provinces, gathered themselves together on the 13th day of March, defended their lives. They came to kill them. They were able to have self-defense and had rest from that their enemies, and they slew 75,000 men on the 13th of March. How many? 75,000. Oh. That is a lot of people. You know what's so amazing to me? I wonder how many of the Jews at that time was concerned about those that they was killing to meet Christ, the coming Messiah. You think they had that in their mind? Now, don't be too hard on them. How many of us is concerned about those? Do you understand if we don't lead people to Christ, if we don't give the opportunity to lay it out and tell them that, hey, Jesus Christ is the way, that every one of them is going to get wiped out and not go to heaven just as quick as the 75,000 did in 1 day? How many of the people who got hit by the tsunami in Japan that people passed by every day, that Christians saw every day and never witnessed to them? In 1 day, a tragedy hits, and all those lives are lost. That's not what we're about here in Antioch. We're about reaching the world for Christ, populating heaven and depopulating hell. And because of that, a great feast was given. Remember when Haman was going to kill the Jews, he had to throw the purse, he had to throw the dice. It's called Pur. And God put it off for a year. He had to throw it 7 days in a row to get a message so he could take to the king. And God put it off for a year before he got 7 days in a row. And he went and told the king, the Jews shall be killed. And when it came around that the Jews turned it around, praise be to God, they had a feast. And they named it not Pur, but they named it Purim. And you know, if you heard in the news 2 weeks ago or so, they celebrated that feast to this very day. You know what's so amazing to me? When you see God comes through, when he definitely comes through, how many times do you praise God that he's come through? How many times do you take the time out and say, God, thank you. Man, you did. And you spent more time giving him thanks than you did crying unto him and begging him to come to get you out. Set that monument up because you're going to need it. Man, God came through for me on that day. I remember that. Thank you, Lord. I know you ain't come through right now, but I remember that day. Put that monument over there. Oh, last month, Lord. Yes, I saw you. Last year, Lord, I saw you when you came. Woo! Yes, sir. I can praise you for coming through for me. How many of us remember that? See, we're quick to forget that God came through because we got to move to the next problem. And the next problem brings less glory to God than giving him praise for coming through last time. And they celebrated. Get a good amen? Celebrated. Go with me here to chapter 10. I want to show you something. I don't know why God put his hands on different people. He put his hand on the Jews. They're his chosen people. And it tells us that as we end with 9, that Mordecai and Esther wrote and told the people, everybody needs to celebrate. And everyone needs to remember. And everyone needs to set up the Feast of Purim. In verse 1 of chapter 10 says, and the king Xerxes laid a tribute upon the land and upon the seacoast. And all the acts of his power and of his might, and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai, to which the king advanced him. Are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Medes and the Persians? I don't know why God chooses different people. I don't know. It's his choice. He's God. He's sovereign. But that man that God chose has a responsibility, because it says in verse 3, he became greater and greater and greater. And God used that greatness. And folks, I don't know why God had his hands on me. I just thank God that he does. And if I'm going to come great, which I want to in the name of God, come great in his name, it's going to be because he wants to take your pastor and do something. And I think he wants to touch us now. And I think he wants to lead us, to lead the world to revival. I believe that with all my heart. I just got to know, are you going to be serious to go with me? Because your pastor knows in the last week what it means to get back in the press. Your pastor knows what it means to have threats all over again. Your pastor knows what it means not to be liked for the wrong reasons. But I am not afraid of any man that walks on this earth. I'm not afraid of anything that walks on this earth. I am a child of the king, anointed by him, called by him, and I have answered. I do not have to study. I do not stutter. I do not have to wait and see if it's okay, and I don't have to pray about it. Already has prayed about it. God, if you call me, I will answer. And folks, that means you and I have been called to take the message to others. And it's easy now. This is a perfect season to invite folks. Easter is coming up, April 24th. Can I get an amen from somebody? Amen. April 24th, that's when the CEOs come to church. Can I get an amen? CEOs, Christmas and Easter only. Who did the pastor say that? Oh, businessman, get them out, get them out. So it's easy to invite folks right now. And we got to do it, because if we're going to be the beginning of what I believe is a great movement of God in our world and our country, it starts right here and it starts with you. And it starts with you being afraid. Stop being afraid to say, hey, come and go to church with me. We got a crazy pastor down there. Tanned. In the name of Jesus, I just want to ask the church one thing. Can you smell what the hutch is cooking? I'm cooking myself some Jesus, and I want everyone to enjoy the meal. I want you to take out and check out this video, because I'm challenging every one of you to become men and women of God to make this God's catalyst starting point. And we're going to kick off here. And we're going to teach the world what it's like to walk with Christ, regardless of what happens. Can I get an amen from somebody? Yeah.